Escuelas Oficiales de Idiomas de la Comunidad de Madrid. Pruebas de certificación. Comprensión de textos orales. Inglés. Certificado de nivel avanzado C2. Convocatoria de mayo de 2023.
This test has 3 tasks. You will hear the first 2 tasks twice and task 3 only once.
Task 1. You will listen to parts of a program. Choose the option A, B or C that best completes the sentences according to what you hear, and write it in the corresponding white box. Sentence 0 is an example. Now read the sentences.
In 2010, something caught the attention of user design expert Harry Bridnell.
I started quite frequently seeing people being tripped up by things in websites and apps that looked like they'd been put there on purpose, like trip hazards that weren't a sort of design mistake but were purposeful.
You coined the phrase dark patterns, right?
Yeah, so there's the idea of normal design patterns. For example, a login box is a useful pattern and a really good way for us to communicate. A dark pattern is meant to be a deceptive and kind of shady technique. So that's where the name came from. And having named them, I started doing lots more research. I found them everywhere. It was like mushrooms popping up in the forest. Like you look, see one, you see another. And I realized that there was this whole phenomenon that people weren't really talking about. So I made a website and I tried to popularize it. And it's now the kind of industry accepted term.
What was that first example of a dark pattern that stood out to you?
The subscription kind of one, the Roach Motel.
The Urban Dictionary defines a Roach Motel as anything that, upon entering it, can't be easily left. On some websites, that's exactly what it's like to cancel your subscription. A painful maze of fruitless searches and false hopes. Through parts of the website you'd have no reason to try. The help section, the contact us section, the login and security sections. Before eventually leading you to calling the company.
Your call is important to us. Please hold the line.
If, of course, you can find a phone number. That's an example of a website designed to frustrate you. Others use more sophisticated behavioural psychology.
So I think one of the first and most common ones is the idea of a trick question or just trick wording. So when you're filling in a form and a question tricks you into giving an answer you didn't intend, urgency, which is just making you feel time pressured in some way to hurry up and make a purchase so you rush and perhaps make a mistake. Social proof. That's where there's things like testimonials that make it sound like other people thought that thing was good and you trust other people's judgments and you end up jumping on the bandwagon. Sneaking, which is just where the websites sneak something. They might sneak something into your basket or they might give you hidden costs or hidden subscriptions.
If supermarkets behaved this way, there would be uproar. It's hard to imagine that anybody would ever want to shop in them. And yet, it happens online all the time.
Some of the stuff is pretty obvious and it's very similar to what would have happened to you in the real world if it was a shopkeeper trying to sell you something. The real difference is that the website is an industrialized, automated form of that where everything gets measured and managed and perfected. And that's never happened before in the history of humanity, really. It's a bit like going to shop and seeing a robot there who deals with you in the most perfect way to persuade you to do something. And because the website owners get to decide that, design it, they can call the shots in a way that you can't as a consumer. when you go online and use a website, what's a bit different is instead of talking to an individual, you're interacting with a piece of software that has been carefully crafted by dozens or even hundreds of people who have used science to try and perfect the way it persuades you to do something. So it'll be really, really good at that. I think that's what's different nowadays.
So if it's you versus a website, they have much better odds than you.
Yeah, exactly. Unless you have hundreds of people sort of whispering in your ear telling you what to do.
In 2015, a group of web users had had enough of one particular technique used by the professional network LinkedIn.
When someone signed up, they'd get access to that person's email contacts through unclear messaging. Then they'd take them all and email all of those contacts saying, hey, Harry wants to connect with you on LinkedIn, or it would look like it had come directly from me.
Yeah, I remember getting those. I got hundreds of those, right? And you get hundreds of those sent. Your inbox is always full of people saying, hey, connect with me on LinkedIn, or hey, I've joined LinkedIn.
But they didn't write it. A piece of software had written it impersonating them effectively. So that's very naughty.
The group claimed that by sending email invitations to their contact list, LinkedIn could harm the user's professional reputation, and that it wasn't clear enough that they'd signed up to do that in the first place. The users won their case, and LinkedIn changed their practice.
The people affected by that lawsuit all each individually got a small sum of money, like $10 or something like that. But obviously, when you aggregate that across all the people who were affected, it added up to millions of dollars. The sad thing is that when an organization is big enough, a multi-million dollar sort of class action lawsuit or fine doesn't affect them greatly. So sometimes it might be seen by some organizations as a price worth paying.
So if websites are using behavioral psychology to nudge, persuade, and trick me into doing things, what is actually happening in my brain when I encounter a dark pattern?
They are trying to misdirect, model, confuse the subconscious brain.
Jo Hemmings is a behavioral psychologist.
So they're actually increasing our stress hormones, which are adrenaline and cortisol, but they're also increasing something called eustress, the only good form of stress. So it's the kind of stress you get when you're on a roller coaster or you're watching a scary movie. It's that sort of excitement, anticipation. So they get that to a certain level. And then it's really that balance is very fine tuned into tempting us. We want instant gratification and we don't want to lose the moment. And so when we do go for it, we get this little burst of dopamine, which is our reward hormone. It says, yes, you've made the right choice.
So I'm on a website here that's given me a couple of options for hotels. And there's a lot going on here. There's quite a lot coming at me. It's quite confusing. So I'm being really bombarded here, Joe, with a sense of urgency. Like it's hard not to have your heart rate increase.
Yes, that's right. So it's very demanding. It's scarcity value. So basically, we put a higher value on something which is scarce and a lower value on something which is abundant. There's only a couple of rooms left. Limited time offer. It's literally bombarding the information that is telling you, I better book it now. I can't come back, can't have a conversation with my husband tonight and say, which of these hotels do you want? I've got to get it now.
New Yorker Carla Sazenko has an addiction to shopping, with much of it happening online.
Like, I shop if I need a pick-me-up, if I want to feel good. But what happens is that when it gets out of control, when I feel like it's controlling me, it creates a persistent sense of anxiety.
And does knowing that the website design may have played a part in her shopping addiction help?
It takes a little bit of that guilt away because I at least don't feel like I am fully responsible. It's like I'm their ideal customer. I'm someone who wants to spend, who wants to buy, who finds pleasure in it until she doesn't. And so it was actually kind of good to hear that there are people who are actually trying to exploit that because it took a little bit of the shame away.
Now listen again.
In 2010, something caught the attention of user design expert Harry Bridnell.
I started quite frequently seeing people being tripped up by things in websites and apps that looked like they'd been put there on purpose, like trip hazards that weren't the sort of design mistake but were purposeful.
You coined the phrase dark patterns, right?
Yeah, so there's the idea of normal design patterns. For example, a login box is a useful pattern and a really good way for us to communicate. A dark pattern is meant to be a deceptive and kind of shady technique. So that's where the name came from. And having named them, I started doing lots more research. I found them everywhere. It was like mushrooms popping up in the forest. Like you look, see one, you see another. And I realized that there was this whole phenomenon that people weren't really talking about. So I made a website and I tried to popularize it. And it's now the kind of industry accepted term.
What was that first example of a dark pattern that stood out to you?
The subscription kind of one, the Roach Motel.
The Urban Dictionary defines a Roach Motel as anything that, upon entering it, can't be easily left. On some websites, that's exactly what it's like to cancel your subscription. A painful maze of fruitless searches and false hopes. Through parts of the website you'd have no reason to try. The help section, the contact us section, the login and security sections, before eventually leading you to calling the company.
Your call is important to us. Please hold the line.
If, of course, you can find a phone number. That's an example of a website designed to frustrate you. Others use more sophisticated behavioural psychology.
So I think one of the first and most common ones is the idea of a trick question or just trick wording. So when you're filling in a form and a question tricks you into giving an answer you didn't intend, urgency, which is just making you feel time pressured in some way to hurry up and make a purchase so you rush and perhaps make a mistake. Social proof, that's where there's things like testimonials that make it sound like other people thought that thing was good and you trust other people's judgments and you end up jumping on the bandwagon. Sneaking, which is just where the websites sneak something. They might sneak something into your basket, or they may give you hidden costs or hidden subscriptions.
If supermarkets behaved this way, there would be uproar. It's hard to imagine that anybody would ever want to shop in them. And yet, it happens online all the time.
Some of the stuff is pretty obvious, and it's very similar to what would have happened to you in the real world if it was a shopkeeper trying to sell you something. The real difference is that the website is an industrialized, automated form of that, where everything gets measured and managed and perfected. And that's never happened before in the history of humanity, really. It's a bit like going to shop and seeing a robot there who deals with you in the most perfect way to persuade you to do something. And because the website owners get to decide that, design it, they can call the shots in a way that you can't as a consumer. When you go online and use a website, what's a bit different is instead of talking to an individual, you're interacting with a piece of software that has been carefully crafted by dozens or even hundreds of people who have used science to try and perfect the way it persuades you to do something. So it'll be really, really good at that. I think that's what's different nowadays.
So if it's you versus a website, they have much better odds than you.
Yeah, exactly. Unless you have hundreds of people sort of whispering in your ear telling you what to do.
In 2015, a group of web users had had enough of one particular technique used by the professional network LinkedIn.
When someone signed up, they'd get access to that person's email contacts through unclear messaging. Then they'd take them all and email all of those contacts saying, hey, Harry wants to connect with you on LinkedIn, or it would look like it had come directly from me.
Yeah, I remember getting those. I got hundreds of those, right? And you get hundreds of those sent. Your inbox is always full of people saying, hey, connect with me on LinkedIn, or hey, I've joined LinkedIn.
But they didn't write it. A piece of software had written it impersonating them effectively. So that's very naughty.
The group claimed that by sending email invitations to their contact list, LinkedIn could harm the user's professional reputation, and that it wasn't clear enough that they'd signed up to do that in the first place. The users won their case, and LinkedIn changed their practice.
The people affected by that lawsuit all each individually got a small sum of money, like $10 or something like that. But obviously, when you aggregate that across all the people who were affected, it added up to millions of dollars. The sad thing is that when an organization is big enough, a multi-million dollar sort of class action lawsuit or fine doesn't affect them greatly. So sometimes it might be seen by some organizations as a price worth paying.
So if websites are using behavioral psychology to nudge, persuade and trick me into doing things, what is actually happening in my brain when I encounter a dark pattern?
They are trying to misdirect, model, confuse the subconscious brain.
Jo Hemmings is a behavioural psychologist.
So they're actually increasing our stress hormones, which are adrenaline and cortisol, but they're also increasing something called eustress, the only good form of stress. So it's the kind of stress you get when you're on a roller coaster or you're watching a scary movie. It's that sort of excitement, anticipation. So they get that to a certain level. And then it's really that balance is very fine tuned into tempting us. We want instant gratification and we don't want to lose the moment. And so when we do go for it, we get this little burst of dopamine, which is our reward hormone. It says, yes, you've made the right choice.
So I'm on a website here that's given me a couple of options for hotels. And there's a lot going on here. There's quite a lot coming at me. It's quite confusing. So I'm being really bombarded here, Joe, with a sense of urgency. Like it's hard not to have your heart rate increase.
Yes, that's right. So it's very demanding. It's scarcity value. So basically, we put a higher value on something which is scarce and a lower value on something which is abundant. There's only a couple of rooms left. Limited time offer. It's literally bombarding the information that is telling you, I better book it now. I can't come back, can't have a conversation with my husband tonight and say, which of these hotels do you want? I've got to get it now.
New Yorker Carla Sazenko has an addiction to shopping, with much of it happening online.
Like, I shop if I need a pick-me-up, if I want to feel good. But what happens is that when it gets out of control, when I feel like it's controlling me, it creates a persistent sense of anxiety.
And does knowing that the website design may have played a part in her shopping addiction help?
It takes a little bit of that guilt away because I at least don't feel like I am fully responsible. It's like I'm their ideal customer. I'm someone who wants to spend, who wants to buy, who finds pleasure in it until she doesn't. And so it was actually kind of good to hear that there are people who are actually trying to exploit that because it took a little bit of the shame away.
This is the end of task one.